Amen. It's good to see everybody out to home group meeting again for this month of September. I will say it's been a very, very, very busy month for Family Stall. I would just like to make two personal announcements that last week little Lydia Ruth was born to Dave and Kristen up in Greenville. That is our fifth grandchild, and we leave the end of September for Montgomery, Alabama to be with Dan and Sarah, and Sarah will give birth to our sixth grandson, our sixth grandchild. And so we are just very thankful that the Lord kept Kristen, and we know He will also keep Sarah, and it will just be a wonderful time, and the Lord will add to Family Stall. Amen. Just some information that's going to happen in October and November. In October, at the home group meeting, we will be hosting Pastor S.J. Peter and his wonderful wife, Helen, from Hyderabad, India. And they will be here, and there'll be days to be announced. And then in November, Pastor Joseph Matua will be with us in November. And it's just wonderful how the Lord just opened up a door for him through, believe it or not, Senator Richard Burr from North Carolina. I contacted them, and they sent a letter to the embassy in Nairobi, and they were calling Mr. Matua, and which was wonderful. And so, anyways, Joseph will be with us in November. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what we've been looking at for the last three months, and this is part four of a 9-part series on prayer. And it is the pathway to the heart of the Father. And the pathway to the heart of the Father. And what I'd like to do, I'd just like to talk about a couple points that we talked about last month, in part three. And the first point is, we always seem to want to know everything, but often our drive for understanding will cause a misunderstanding in us. There seems to be something, the way that man is we just have to know everything, and we just can't keep things in our heart. The Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Well, today we just don't seem to be able to do that. We just got to know everything, and God has to tell us everything. And if He don't tell us, and we get a frowny face, and we get upset, and that's not God's intention, because God is God, and there's some things that He knows, and there's some things that He doesn't want us to know. And we just need to come into that understanding with Him so that we won't come into that misunderstanding. If we keep pushing and pushing and pushing, we will find something. If you keep knocking and knocking and knocking, at a door, a door will be opened. If you keep, seeking and seeking and seeking, you're going to find something. And it may not be what the Lord wants you to find. So we just need to learn to rest and not be so anxious about, having to know everything. And the second point, it's a very, very important point, and I'll continue a little bit of this tonight, is our communication with God leads to communion with God. Our communication, our talking, which is not necessarily prayer, because prayer is from our heart, and it's addressed to the Father, as we've seen in the past, but our communication leads to communion with God. And if we can allow that to happen, it will move us always from the gimme, Lord, give me this, and our prayer won't be, Lord, bless me and give me this. But if we can allow that communication to lead to communion, then it will move us from the gimmes, and it will move us into the heart of God, and we'll be able to develop a better relationship with Him. Oftentimes we use prayer as an opportunity to twist God's arm, or, Lord, give me this, or, Lord, if you really love me, you'll do this. Well, that's just nothing but the gimmes. But that's not God's idea of prayer. God's idea of prayer in our life is for us to be able to communicate with Him in true communion, heart communion. And as we start with that communication, then we'll be able to come into that communion. Amen. Do you have your Bible? Let's go ahead and look at a verse real fast, which is an amazing verse, a really amazing verse in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew 21, chapter 21, verse 21. Amen. This is Jesus talking. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, that ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye can say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And of course we know in this story earlier that Jesus saw this fig tree, and it did not bear fruit. And so Jesus cursed this fig tree, and it withered away. Now it's just an interesting thought there. But here it talks about it will be able to speak to this tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain. It's interesting to know here in the Greek this word mountain is obstacles and problems. It's not a physical mountain that Jesus was talking about. And most translated mountains in the Bible, believe it or not, is governments. Is governments, and so the word mountain there is translated a number of different ways, but here it is obstacles and problems. And so if we have faith and doubt not, then we'll be able to speak to these obstacles and these problems in our life, and they will be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Jesus teaches us in Matthew, the Father knows and will supply all of our need. In Matthew 6:32. That the Father knows what we need before we even ask. The Father knows that. And He loves us so much that He will provide that. And then we can just turn loose and we can be doing what the Father really wants us to be doing. And we do not have to worry that, we don't have to worry about our needs. Then our centeredness will be in Him, and everything we do will be for God. If we really come to the place, if we really, really believe Matthew 6:33, our life as a Christian would just be so, so much easier. We wouldn't be so confused, and we wouldn't be in such great despair and confused in all of these things. Matthew 6:33 says that the Father knows what we want. And if we really, really believe that verse, if we really, really believe that, then we won't have to worry about all of these things. Then we can just allow our heart to go up to the Lord, and then we can move in Him. We then also will be grateful for all of the things that God has already provided for us. He becomes our center of our attention. So the asking and the believing and the receiving will turn from our desires to God's desires and what He wants in our life. If we really come to this place that God will supply our need, if we really believe that. Now, most Christians don't believe that. Oh yeah, I believe that. But in reality, most Christians don't believe that. And they're out there and they're trying to do these things and work things up and kind of twist God's arm to do any things. But in reality, if they come to that place of real truth and belief in that, then they can go on to the next step. And they can just go ahead and allow God to be the center of their desires. And then it will be God's desires, not our desires. Often in prayer, what we ask for the Lord is our desires and not what God desires. There's a big difference often. I know in my life some things that I may desire and probably what God desires. It's not good for us to have our desires, believe it or not. Psalms 37:4 is just a wonderful verse. It says, Delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I even think there's songs out there, Delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you look at that verse there, that word delight is not the same word delight that we think of to make happy or joyful or whatever. That word delight there in the Greek is to become malleable, to become pliable, to become bendable. So if we become malleable and pliable and bendable, if we allow God to work on us, then then God will be able to give us the desires of our hearts, because then our desires will be His desires. And that's the same thing. If we really come into this place of understanding Matthew 6:32 and really believe that God knows what we need and what we want, then God will be able to easily give us His desires, because now His desires will be our desires, because our desire will not be for what we want. Our desire will be for what God wants. And this is what Jesus meant when He said about prayer and fasting. This communion with God that moves us into our heart of God. So there's not a problem in believing when it comes to doing what God wants us to do. If you know what God wants to do, there's no problem. You will have no trouble. You know, it's really amazing. If we really knew what God wants us to do, there would just be no problem in that. And the problem in that, you know, why we really don't know what God wants us to do, is because we have our desires and what we want to do, you know, that gets in the way. Unless we move into the heart of God, unless we really come to this place of understanding of God really and truly knows what we want and, you know, knows what we need, unless we really move into the heart of God, we will be doing our own thing. We'll be doing our own thing. And that's not what God wants. And sadly, as I look around the church today, we see so many people doing their own thing and not what God wants and what, you know, what God's thing is. And that's not the way He has it set up. God has it set up that we are doing His things. That all comes out of prayer and fasting and communion and moving into the heart of God. But then His desire comes out of His heart. And we then can function as Jesus did, doing not only these things, what he sees the Father doing. We can even curse the fig tree and it will wither away. Now Jesus said that. Jesus said we could do that if we have faith and we doubt not that we could. You know, we could do that. We could curse a fig tree and it would wither away. Wow. Now I have never met anybody in my life that have ever been able to walk in this truth to where they'll be able to curse a fig tree or, you know, speak to a mountain and it will be removed. You know, I know I'm not there, but Jesus said that. He said that and He believes that, and this is what He wants to happen in our life. But it's like going back to Matthew 6:32. Do we really believe this? Do we really believe the Father knows what we want? Or I'm sorry, you know, what we need? Well, if we can come into that understanding, if we can come to that faith, we can come in and doubt not, then we'll be able to do those mighty things that Jesus did on earth. Because this is His intention. This is His intention for our life. That all comes out again out of prayer. And all of this, He becomes the sinner and we must die. Wow. And all of this, He becomes the sinner and we must die. We must die to our self-life and desires to take on God's wills, His ways and His intention and His desires. We must be stripped of our own will and ways and intentions and desires and take on the purity of God to function in that way that God wants. God's power is not manifested on the earth as He desires because His children are not willing to die for their selfishness. God's power is not manifested on the earth. I really believe this. It's not manifested on the earth because we just fail. We just won't die to our self-seeking and our selfishness and our self-nature. Well, God will never ever be manifested on the earth in the way that He wants it to happen until we can learn how to die to our selfishness and our self-will and our pride and our arrogance and our ambition and all of these things. The true conversion in Christianity happens not in the outwardly in our life, but it happens in our character. God is so concerned about our character than He is about our service and our ability and all of those things. I hear so many people talk about they want to have this big ministry and, you know, that ministry and all this good stuff. Well, I promise you, if you build God a house of devotion, a house house of commitment, if you build God a house of dedication toward Him, He will build you a ministry. He will build you a ministry. And all the people out there that are wanting to, wanting to preach and teach and all that good stuff, if you build God a house of devotion and commitment, I promise you, God will build you. He will build you a ministry. We should not worry about believing as we move into the heart of God and make our approach to Him. Let me say that again. We should not worry about believing as we move into the heart of God and make our approach to Him. We will pick up faith as God speaks to us. Most Christians get frustrated about how much faith, they do and they do not have. Well, that's wrong teaching. That's wrong teaching. Faith will come to us when we are able to hear from God. Let me say that again. Faith comes to us as we are able to hear from God. So as we make our approach to the Lord, we must not get concerned, oh, I don't have faith, and, don't worry about that. Don't worry about not having faith. I know Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith you cannot please God. But as we make our approach to God, we must not be so concerned to think that we have some level of faith, or, you give so much money and you get so much faith, or you do so many good works and you get faith and all that, and, or you hear your favorite praise and worship song and you get faith, and, well, that's not the way that God has it arranged. We will pick up faith as God speaks to us. His Word contains faith and everything else that we need. We receive faith when we hear from God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Tremendous verse. And yes, faith comes by hearing the Word from God. But if you... I can remember growing up in the 80s and the 90s, and I could think of a certain pastor, and we would ride around in his car, and he would have the Bible just playing on tape. And I asked him why he always played the Bible on tape. He said, well, he was building his faith up. Well, and that can't be true, because there's all kind of people hear the Word of God every Sunday in church and they leave with no faith. So just playing the Bible by someone reading it will not build your faith up. It has to be become a part of you. It has to be, you have to hear it and you have to receive it. But more importantly, God has to speak to you. Romans 10:17 in the Greek is, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. Not faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which is the King James Version. But in the Greek, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. Because when we hear God speak to us, when we hear God speak to our spirit, then in that hearing, in that word that God is speaking, is contained everything. The faith, everything that we're going to need to do that which God has told us to do. So it's not a mechanical thing that we work up, even in prayer as we pray and God speaks back to us and says, I want you to do this. It's not a mechanical building of faith, but it's a spiritual building of faith. Faith is a spiritual principle. And as we are in prayer and we're going into the heart of the Father and we're making our approach to Him, then as He speaks to us, then we get faith to do whatever He wants us to do. It's kind of amazing. People think we can kind of like store up faith. Well, I'll have my faith stored up and then I can do this. And well, no, faith isn't ours, it's God's. It's a spiritual thing, and He gives that to us when we need it. Again, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. I promise you, when you truly hear from God that you know that you know that you know, then you will have all the faith that you ever, ever need. Oftentimes we pray for the sick and we do not have the word what it takes to do the healing. Jesus told the disciples to heal the sick, not to pray for them. I'm going to say that again. Jesus told the disciples to heal the sick, not to pray for them. Nowhere is recorded in the New Testament. And nowhere is recorded in the King James Version that Jesus prayed for the sick. Nowhere. He healed them. Matthew 14:14 said, and Jesus went forth and was moved with compassion, and he prayed for their sick. Right? No, it does not say that. It said he was moved with compassion and he healed them. And he healed them. The last thing that I need when I am sick and I cannot get to the Father, the last thing I need is for someone to come pray for me. What I need when I'm sick and I'm on my deathbed or whatever, I need someone that has a walk with God, that has the ability to lay hands on me, and I will recover, as the Bible says. I don't need someone to come, okay, Brother Dave, I want you to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. I need someone that has a walk with God. And we'll see this a little later as I go on. I need someone that has a walk with God and someone that has heard from God, and I be healed. I remember I was in Turkey, a while ago. This was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and there was this Armenian lady. And I really liked her a lot. There was just something special about her. I mean, that's the only way, you know, I could put it. And she was just a very spiritual woman, and I really liked her a lot. Well, and I usually just don't, you know, just pray for somebody, you know. I like to hear from God. And so anyways, one Sunday she came up to me. It was the last service, and she said, "Now I usually don't ask people, you know, to pray for me, but I feel that you are to pray for me so that I get pregnant." And she was in her mid 50s, and I looked at her, and I can see her face, and I looked at her, and I said, "Well," and when I said "well," I felt the Lord saying, "Do it." And so I said, "Well, I normally, you know, don't do this, but I'm going to do it only because I feel the Lord is saying to do this." And so anyways, I prayed for her, and it wasn't no lightning and no thunder, you know, there was no, I didn't, you know, start speaking in tongues and start rolling around or any of that stuff, you know. I mean, none of that stuff. I just prayed for her, but I felt in my heart, I felt the Lord saying to do that. And at that time in my travels, I was on about a two-year cycle that I would go back to, you know, like Turkey or wherever, like every 2 years. And so I was in that cycle, and I was going to go back to Istanbul to be with Pastor Menton. And so I called, and he said, "Oh, I have a wonderful surprise for you." I said, "Oh yeah, what is that?" You know, and he mentioned the lady's name, and he said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you, you know, what the surprise is. This, but you know, I know you will be happy to see her." And I remember that I prayed for her about being pregnant, and so I thought, well, you know, she got pregnant, and I was really happy about that, you know. But Pastor Minton didn't tell me. But when I got there, what I saw was a set of twins. It wasn't one child, it was two child. Now the husband was 65 plus, and she was in her late 50s. And it was just a miracle. It was just a miracle. I mean, well, it's not a miracle because it could be explained in the natural. But I know the Lord said to pray for her, and this was the Lord's will. And I have a picture of me sitting there with these two huge babies in my arms. And it's just, every time I see that, I just think of how hearing from God makes the difference in what we do. Because if we don't hear from God, I mean, Him speak to us, then what we're going to be doing is we're just going to be doing something. And so there must be that hearing from God. Faith cometh by hearing and word from God. And when we do, and when we hear, then we're able to, you know, move in that. And I just, you know, it's always just one of those things in my life that I will never ever remember. We need to hear the word from God. We all believe He can, but will He do it? And now, when we are sick, we do not need prayer. We need healing. As I said, the last thing that I need when I'm sick is for someone to come can pray for me. I need someone to come and lay hands on me, that has a walk with the Lord, and lay hands on me, and I be healed, as Jesus told the disciples. Again, nowhere in the Bible, does Jesus say, now go pray for somebody for healing. He said, go heal them. And that was the example of Jesus in the Bible. He didn't pray for them. He just went out and healed them. In James, and the prayer of the faith, this is James 5:15, wonderful verse. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven. James 5:15. The word prayer here is translated vow or strong confession or statement. It's not the prayer like, you know that we do when we pray for somebody. But the word prayer here is translated vow or strong confession or statement. In James 5:14 it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And that phrase right there, the very, very special phrase, let them pray over him, is praying in his presence. So they're not saying the elders are going to go ahead and pray over the individual here. What that's saying is that they will lay hands on him and they will pray in the presence of God, anointing him with oil. Now this is not, oh Lord, I believe. But getting into his presence, close to his heart, so that we will know what he wants in this situation. It's very, very important to understand and look at the words. That's what's really, really being said. So it is the healing when the person hears from God. It is his vow, it is his strong confession, and his statement that he is healed, as those the elders that get in the presence of the Lord and they pray. Not just praying for them, but praying in the presence of God. And there's a difference. You know, there's a difference. In the oil, I see a lot of churches, they have a tradition and they have a ritual where they go ahead and get the oil out and they anoint someone, they do a cross or they anoint them there. I believe, I'm not saying, and I really don't have a total understanding on this, but I believe what that anointing him with oil is more the oil of the Holy Spirit, because when we get in the presence of God, and when someone is anointed by the Holy Spirit, I will tell you, things happen and people are healed, because I am a living example of that. God has healed me not once, but many, many, many times. And it's not just praying, but it's praying in the presence of God. And that strong confession of our faith and belief and this vow that we have that, yes, God can heal me. And, you know, I hear from God and he will hear me. When Peter healed the lame man in Acts 3:6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but shall as I give thee, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, what did he have then he did not have the days before? Peter passed by him every day. Jesus passed by this lame man every day. And they both probably gave him money. He laid at the table, at the temple's gate. And I bet you Jesus and Peter and other disciples came by and gave the guys alms, you know. But when Peter walked by, he looked at the guy and he said, wait a minute, I don't have any money for you today. He probably had money, but he had something more special. He had something special. What did he have that day? He had the word of the Lord, the healing for him. As I said, Jesus walked by the lame man and did not heal him. Peter that day had the word. He had the mind of the Lord to heal him. Notice, there was no prayer. Notice, Peter didn't lay hands on him and pray and, you know, try to work it up and do all that stuff. Acts 3:7 says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Let me go back to 3 and 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And immediately, it says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Healing is the simplest thing to move in when we are in God's will. Healing is the simplest thing to move in when we are in God's will. I remember Charles Hahn, my teacher, tells the story of he was in prayer and the Lord spoke to him before the service. And the Lord said that he was going to heal some lady tonight at the service. And so after the service, at the close of the service, the Lord wanted to heal some lady. And so, Charles told the pastor, and so the pastor got up there and said, at the end of the service, the Lord, we're going to pray for a bunch of people in the service, and so just come on down, and, we're going to pray for you, and believing that the Lord's going to heal you. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm going to heal one lady tonight. And about 10 people came down, Charles said, and there was a bunch of guys, and, now Charles told the pastor, one lady's going to be healed, and that's it, And so all these people came down, and the pastor and the work of Charles says got busy praying for all these people. And so when there was a guy there, Charles just stood back and let the pastor pray. Because God said it was going to be a lady who was going to heal. But when the pastor stepped up to the lady, then Charles, stepped up there and asked the Lord, and no, that's not her, and Charles stepped back. The last lady in line, Charles knew that this was the lady because God said he was going to heal somebody tonight. And so the last lady in line, Charles, told the pastor, I'll go ahead and pray for her. He laid hands on her and she just started screaming and yelling. Her head, she was having these tremendous migraine headaches. And when Charles put his hands on her head, she just started screaming and yelling. And from that second on, she was completely healed. And she just, has had a breakdown at the St. Pentecostal Church because God healed her. And that was God's intention. That's what God wanted. And Charles didn't lay hands, he didn't pray any of that stuff. He just laid hands on her. And that was it. It is easy doing anything in God. Now please listen to this. It is easy doing anything in God when we know what He wants. It is easy doing anything in God when we know what He wants. Well, this is God's idea to be able to tell us His mind. God delights in telling us His mind. And if we can come to that place of knowing what God wants, then it's easy because we know what God wants. We have the mind of God. And it just becomes easy. For all of this to happen, we need a total surrender. A commitment so He can take us and do with us what He wants to do. So people say, why isn't the power of God, I've made this statement so many times recently. Growing up, just the power of God just suddenly dropping. But that it's the power of God and just awesome. And people are crying and wailing and I haven't seen that in years and years and years. But growing up and Pentecostal churches and other churches, it was very, very common. But I haven't seen that. I've asked God why. Well, let me read this again. For this law to happen, we need a total surrender and a commitment so that He could take us and do with us what He wants us to do. I would say the commitment and the dedication that most Christians had in the past was far greater than the commitment and dedication that most Christians have today. We have so many distractions in our life. We're just so caught up in just so many other things. And God is not going to go ahead and give us His things, His goods, unless we are, committed and unless we're, surrendered to Him. He just, We won't do it. Our commitment surrender to God will only carry us so far. I say that again. Our commitment surrender to God will only carry us so far. And the greater our commitment surrender to God, the greater our ability to function in God. Whew. Wow. That's pretty heavy stuff. The greater our commitment and surrender to God, the greater our ability to function in God. So if we really, really want to be used of God, I mean, if we really, really, oh God, use me. Well, God wants to use us. That's His heart, that's His intention. But He will not, He cannot use us unless we are committed, unless we are, you know, totally surrendered to God. Because the more of our commitment surrendered to God, the greater He'll be able to use us. Now, I have never cursed, nor have I ever met someone who could, as I said, who could curse a fig tree and a wither. But Jesus said that we have the ability and the power to do that. That's what Jesus said. We can do that, but we can only do that if we have a commitment and a surrender and a devotion to the Lord to be able to move in that. You know, I always found when I read, you know, Matthew 21:21, I always find it funny that mountains have ears. Amen? Mountains have ears. Jesus said we can speak to them. We can speak to them. So problems in our life, obstacles in our life, have ears. They have ears. Jesus said we can speak to them and they would be removed. Isn't that amazing? That our problems and our obstacles in our life, apparently they have ears, because that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 21:22. We don't do a lot of speaking. I'm sorry, we do a lot of speaking, but often not much is being removed. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, but I see a lot of people speaking, and I see a lot of people praying, a lot of people doing all of these things, but there's not a lot of things being done. And it all boils back down to our commitment, our dedication, and, you know, even that heart focus in prayer as, you know, as we allow God to use us and, you know, it can take us. If we desire to have this ability in God, to be able to curse the fig tree or speak to these problems in our life, it will cost us things far greater than what we are willing to give up now. Whew. Wow. I mean, that last thought is just, If we really desire to have the ability in God, it will cost us things far greater than what we are willing to give up right now. So if we say we want to be used of God and, you know, oh God, use me and, you know, so forth and so on. And if God, if you're listening around the world on the internet, I mean, this month so far we've had over 60,000 hits. And it's always amazing. It's always amazing after I put this out on the internet, or after Marilee does that, I look and the hits just doom, doom, doom. So I know there's people listening to that. But listen to what I have to say, you know, in closing. If we desire to have this ability in God, it will cost us things far greater than what we are willing to give up now. What are we giving up now? What have we given up? And if we still want to be used by God in a greater way, then it's going to cost us something far greater than what we've given up now. Whew. Wow. That was powerful. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, for this wonderful time of teaching, Father, Lord God, for the pathway to the heart of the Father, Father, Lord. And we know that is through prayer, Father. And Lord, in prayer, Father, Lord God, you just don't want us just to pray for people in just words, Father, Lord. But Lord, I know you want us to have that ability in you, Father, Lord, that we'll be able to touch, Father, Lord God, touch hearts and minds, and Father, Lord God, lay hands on people and they be healed, Father, Lord.
And I just thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord God. Even Paul had an apron, and he laid aprons on people, Father, Lord God, and they were healed, Father, Lord. Lord, if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for us, Father, Lord. Lord, I know that's your intention for us, Father, Lord God. Lord, I would ask that you would just use us all, Father, Lord. Everybody, Father, Lord, in the sound of my voice, Father. But Lord, you would just work and build in us, Father, our greater desire, Father, Lord, for your things, Father. Lord, let us believe in Matthew 6:32, Father, Lord, that you know what we need and you're going to give that to us. So we don't got to worry about all that stuff. And we just need to be able to worry about pushing into you and just desiring you, Father, Lord, God, more than anything else in our life. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord, God. Lord, bless all that has come out, Father, Lord, and Lord, all the things, the Father, Lord, that you have hidden in our hearts, Father, Lord, God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, God. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.